and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles, turn with me back to Acts chapter 13. We began last week for the last month of our time with you addressing our current situation, where we are, the circumstances, a church in transition. I say that with a smile on my face because some people always see that as a bad thing. Transition is not a bad thing. Transition is a good thing. As a matter of fact, if it were not for transitional times in our life, we would always stay right where we are all the time. That would be a bad place to be, is just to stay where you are all the time. God is moving us to change. He is leading us to other places. He is guiding the church as we make this journey of faith. And as a child of God, a part of the church of God, we're on a journey. And that journey requires transition from time to time, from leadership to leadership. And last week we began in Acts chapter 13, and I want to go back there this morning. Actually, I'm just going to read the first five verses this morning, and then verse 36, and then share some truths from God's Word with us as we consider the church in transition. It says in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it gives the names of some men who were at Antioch, leaders in the church, guiding the church as God was leading them. It says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, or we know as Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They had also John to their minister, or as a helper, as an assistant to them." And then in verse 36 it says this, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption." As we think about a church in transition, last week I want to review just a little bit. I actually had notes placed at both welcome centers. If you did not get one, you can get one when you leave. A lot of people like to have notes from week to week, especially in a time when you're preaching a series. It helps to be able to reflect back and see how God's Spirit is working from one week to the next. And so I prepared some notes for us to remind us that anytime a church is in transition, especially when it comes to leadership, that we need to seek the right leadership. It is vitally important. I mentioned to you last week, and I want to say this again this week, and ask you if you have the opportunity and you ever speak to people who are parts of a church, doesn't have to be this church, and they're going through transition and they're considering their next pastor or their next leadership, and they make a statement such as, "What's been made to me?" Well, we're not in a hurry to get a pastor because we'll be okay without one. That is not scriptural. That's not biblical. Anything that's living has to have a leader, a head. Now, I know God is the head of the church, but he places leadership in place. And there has to be someone at the helm leading the church. God set that position aside for pastors, for leaders in the church. And they come in various forms. They come from different backgrounds. But a church needs the right leadership. And so last week we began looking at what the Bible tells us about godly leadership. I want to review with you for just a few minutes. We saw, according to this text, that these men that God had his hand on in the church at Antioch, the first thing is this: as we seek the right leadership, we need to seek for godly leadership. And godly leadership, I mentioned this to you last week, I will mention to it again. Godly leadership is not something you as an individual sit down and make your list of what you're looking for in a pastor. Can I tell you something that's always bugged me? is when churches start looking for a pastor and they start asking the congregation what they're looking for. That's about as unscriptural as you'll ever find anywhere. And you start giving them your list. The bad part about that is there's several hundred people here. That'd be a long list. It'd be a varied list. It'd be an impossibility to find a pastor that met your criteria as a godly pastor. So I'm glad the scripture tells us what a godly pastor looks like. It says here that godly pastors are those who love God more than anyone or anything else. They first minister to God before they try to minister to the people. A pastor that is not passionately in love with Christ, walking with Christ, seeking to walk with Christ. Now listen to me, I want to say this. That does not make them perfect people. Matter of fact, I can tell you, I know a very imperfect pastor. And if I had a mirror, I'd be looking at him. But pastors who love God are those who are seeking to follow Him, who love Him more than they love the people. There are times when they don't even have time. Get this. For the people, you say, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. I thought the pastor was to serve the people. He's to serve God first. He's to minister to God first. He's to passionately be seeking to spend ample time with the Lord because he is called to do the most important duty of a pastor, that is to preach the word, to bring the word of God to the people of God. Because we're living in a day and time, it used to not be this way. Did you know it used to be much easier for me as a pastor to preach the word of God? Because as I preached the word of God, most of the people sitting in the pews knew that word about as well as I did. That has changed. I have to be careful when I get up and say, you probably will remember this, or if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll remember. You won't remember it because you've never read it. Today's culture, today's generation. They don't know how to believe in this Jesus. They don't even know who this Jesus is. They don't know the story. And so a pastor, first of all, has to be a man who loves God more than he loves anyone or anything else. That means a lot of the things that we love to do, we have to put on the back burner. I could pick on Tim a little bit today as he looks forward. His life is about to get a whole lot busier. Not just with stuff. I'm talking about opportunities that God's going to give him. And he becomes secondary, third, and fourth in a lot of things. I love to fish. I've got a boat. The most exciting event that's happened on my boat happened last year when it sank. Thank God there was nobody on it. At least some water got in it because fish hadn't been in it in a long time. Pastors, listen, they not only love God more than they love the people, they love God more than they love things that they like doing. Now, I fish occasionally. I hope to fish more. I'm persuaded that probably is not going to change much. I'm still going to be doing the same stuff God's always called me to do, ministering to people from a personal perspective, because people who are called by God to lead the church of God are godly men who love God more than they love anybody or anything else. I've got to move on. Secondly, not only do you seek for the right leadership looking for godly leadership, we saw that we look for gospel-centered leadership. Their preaching and teaching centers on the gospel. They trust the power of the gospel. Changed lives is not in them. They cannot change a life. They understand that. We do not have the ability. There's not a pastor, a leader, a music worship leader. None of us have the ability or the power to change a life. We do have the word of God that is more powerful, however, than any other thing. More powerful than a double-edged sword. It has dunamis power. It is powerful enough to change people's lives. So we preach the gospel. We send the gospel. We share the gospel. In our lives, we share it. From the pulpits, we share it. I've always felt like every sermon, it doesn't matter what the sermon, where the sermon begins, it ought to always end at Christ. It ought to always end at the cross. It ought to always end at the gospel. Because there's somebody here this morning, listen to me, who needs the gospel. You're here and you need the gospel. You don't need self-help, although sometimes that's helpful. What you need more than anything is the gospel. So godly leaders are people who are gospel-centered leaders. And then thirdly, we saw that when we seek for the right leadership, we need to seek for generational leadership. God has the ability to raise up new leaders for every generation. This is where I left off last week. This is where I want to build from today. Generational leadership. Churches need generational leadership, people who can identify and understand the heart of the generation in which we are serving. And boy, do times change fast these days. My, how people think changes quickly these days. Every generation we discovered is different. Different. You were different from the generation before you, weren't you? Say amen. The things that they thought important, you didn't see quite as important. The things that they prioritized, you probably haven't prioritized. The way they did life, you don't do life that way anymore. How many of you still go to a thing that's attached to a wall and put it up your ear to talk to people? If you do, don't raise your hand. You're way outdated. How many of you know without technology today, the world does not spin? It does not exist. You can live in the world, but you won't know much about what's happening in the world. That's why planes get grounded. You say, why is all these planes grounded? Because there's a little thing called a computer. And if it ain't working right, planes don't fly. It's a crazy world. It's changed, crazy, different. When I was in Bible college, my ethics professor said to me, Roy, Professor Freeze, he was older. I thought he was old. He was 60. I'll be 60 in just a few days. I thought he was so old. My, how times change. But he said to me in the class, when you guys start pastoring, if you are pastoring, the things that you're going to face, I never had to face as a pastor. There are decisions you're going to have to make with families that I never had to make with families. You had to sit with them, pray with them, know them, understand the culture, or else you will be ineffective as a pastor. Every generation, that's why it says in this verse that we read, that David, after he served his generation, and notice this, by the will of God. By the will of God. God raises up leadership for every generation. Now, let me get personal with us when we talk about generational leadership and generational change. I hope you will write this down. I hope you will pray a prayer like this. God, help me to respond positively to your word. Not to Pastor Roy, but help me to be open to your will, open to your direction. Because here's the problem. We don't like different. Say amen. Amen. We don't like different. We don't like change. I don't care any kind of change. We just don't like it. We don't like it. It may be better for us, but we don't like it. I got rid of my Ford pickup, the red Ford pickup. My brother took it. Finally found somebody that wanted a Ford, and I gave him my Ford. You Ford guys, forgive me for that. I got another Ford. I got in it yesterday, and I thought, I raised the armrest. It's a little square about like that. Whatever happened, the one I had a big arm console. I could put everything in it. And I thought, I don't like this. We don't like change. We just don't like change. That's just part of life. Our nature is geared that way. We do not like change. We don't like things that are different. Hear me this morning. Please hear me. I could take you. I'm not going to take one scripture. I could take you through a ton of scriptures that would verify the truth that I'm about to say. Just because it's different does not mean it's wrong. Can I say that again? Different simply means different. Different doesn't mean wrong. I promise you, I have done everything within my power to stay at a distance over the last 4 or 5 months. It's been the roughest 4 or 5 months of my life. There are things that I think I ought to ask a question. No, Roy, you can't ask a question. It's none of your business. I'd like to know. You don't need to know nothing. You know why? Because it's not up to me. It shouldn't be up to me. But I do know this. You will naturally, as a church, have to transition into different ways of doing things differently if you're going to reach this generation. I can promise you that. You will not reach this generation the way we reached the last generation. I'm not talking about moving away from the gospel. The message will always remain the same. The methodology, however, must change. It must change. I was in the hospital. I told you that story last week. I was minding my own business. It was a great day. They put me in a, room with two beds. And you know what you pray when they tell you you're going to a room that has another patient? Lord, get them out of here soon, or maybe they'll be gone when I get there. Okay, so I'm like, they said, we're taking it up to a semi-private room. And I'm like, man, I hate semi-private rooms. Not because I don't like the person in the room with me. I just know they're not going to like me. And so I prayed that prayer, got up to the room, nobody there. It was cleared out. They cleaned the bed. It was sweet. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. A few hours later, they rolled a guy in. We got a roommate for you. I believe his name was Bill. Bill or Billy. He came in, he was having chest pains, and they told him his blood gases showed he was having a heart attack or had had a heart attack, and they were going to test him and get him ready for probably the same procedure I was going to have and all this kind of thing. And so after a few minutes, just soon after he got in the room, I didn't get to speak with him. They brought him in because before I could ever talk to him, get any of this information, the staff chaplain came in. He had already been up to see me, so he and I had had a good visit, and I knew who he was. And so he walked around the curtain to the other side, told the young, the young man, he was older than me, who he was, said, I'm staff chaplain, I just want to come and check on you. Are you having some problems? Yes. And he said, well, I'm the chaplain here. Do you have a church? The gentleman said, no, not really. I was raised Catholic, but I've been attending, though, a different church out here. He said, I've been attending a different church, and he told me which one it was. By the way, the chaplain was a member of that church. If I told you, you'd know who it was. Has many campuses. And this man who was raised a whole different background, with joy, here's what he said. I started going to this church. It's different. They do things different. But he said, that's okay because they're reaching a young generation. I thought, boy, I wished everybody had that perspective. But I mentioned this last week. This generation is dying quicker, faster, sooner, younger than any other generation we've ever known. They're dying without Jesus. Church, we've got to reach them. That means change. I don't know what it looks like. I have no idea what it will be like. I know if I were going to stay at the helm, it would probably happen a whole lot more drastically and quicker than others just because I've been here. But I do know this. It will require change. And it all depends upon whether or not we are here to serve this generation. If you're an older person, if you think you're most important, you need to pray, God, change me. Don't change my leaders. Don't change my church. Change me. Change me. Because your loved ones are dying without Jesus. Your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters are dying without Jesus. How much does it mean to you to reach them and to disciple them with the gospel? Are you not willing to change? I grew up in a church. Things have changed a lot over the last several years. I grew up in a church where we went every Sunday morning early for what was called Sunday school. Well, let me back up. We started before that. We started with prayer meeting early, 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then Sunday school. Then we had church. Then we'd go home a few hours. Then we came back for what was called DT. I want to watch this. How many of you know or have ever been a part of a DT program? Raise your hands. I don't see many. I'm not that old. It's called discipleship training. Every church had it. 5 o'clock every Sunday or 4 o'clock, depending on what church you were part of. Discipleship training. We came back for discipleship training. We had a Sunday night service. We had Sunday night worship. We came back for Sunday night worship. We don't do that anymore. Times have changed. The way we've changed things, how we do discipleship training, changed. You have to change. It will be necessary. I will say this again. Different doesn't mean wrong. It simply means different. And I will make you laugh, I hope, at this. I'm different from you. And you're different from me. But there's really, well, I better be careful with this. You may say there is. There's really nothing wrong with any of us. We're children created in the image of a God that loves us. And often we make that statement where they're just different. Different doesn't mean it's wrong. And I will pray much for you in this process of transition. Generational leadership finds a way. Now, let me get to today. I was just trying to clean up last week's mess in my preaching. Now, let me get to today's points. The priority is for the church always to find and to have godly leadership, the right leadership. And I don't mind saying this. Some churches don't have the right leadership. That's why they fail. I don't blame God's people. I have pastors come to me all the time and say, my people don't ever want to do anything. My people, they're bad people. I'm thinking, listen, dude, something's wrong probably with you. You may not be at the right church. Something may be wrong with you. Okay? You need the right leadership with the right people. That's why you've chosen the people that you're choosing. And I want to talk about that journey, how to find the right leadership, the process out of this scripture. Okay, I want to base it on the truths of the scripture. You ought to already know this, but I'm going to give you these 3 points real quick. Verse 2 tells us this. How do you find the right leadership? You don't. God does. They are appointed by God. You don't. God does. They are appointed by God. They're separated by God, by the will of God, by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God. God places His hand upon them long before you ever know who they are. I could go back several, many, many, many years. I was asked this question before the church called me. Well, Pastor Roy, why do you want to be our pastor? My answer was, I don't. I have no desire to be your pastor. I was fine doing what I was doing. I said, but if that's what God has chosen for me, I'm willing. Same way with Pastor Tim. Russ, you chaired that committee, Russ? Okay. I won't remind people much longer. Okay. Russ chaired that team that called Pastor Tim. They met together. They started getting resumes, right? Overwhelming, isn't it, Russ? All these people sending you resumes. They're telling you how good they are, how good they can preach, how good their family is, how nice they are, how nice their wives are. They have perfect children. They give you all these resumes. You start talking to them. You think, boy, that's a nice family. This is a nice family. That's a nice family. They are so gifted. They have so many abilities. He's so gifted. He has so many abilities. He preaches so well. And before long, your head is spinning saying, what are we going to do? If you ever served on a search committee, you know what I'm talking about. Finally, you come to one conclusion. We better figure out who God has chosen for this. And I remember, Russ, when you stood right here and said something similar to this. Before we ever find the man God has for us, He has already picked that man. Well, thank God He did pick His man, and you have already done what you need to do in that area of senior leadership. And I'm so glad I can call Tim senior pastor. He's going to want to be called lead pastor. I'm going to call him senior pastor, make him sound so old. He leads the people. God found him. You didn't find him. God called him. You didn't call him. Which would lead me to the second point. God said, separate me. Set them apart for my purpose, for my will. Once He sets them apart, what He does is so unique. He then gives discernment to leaders like Russ and a team, and the church gets to affirm them. After verse 2, it says verse 3, they fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, and sent them away. They affirmed them, the church, after prayer and fasting. That's why when we say to you, when a committee says to you, we are in contact, we are communicating with a family, would you join us in praying and fasting and seeking to know the will of God? And when they come and you visit with them, just like in a few weeks, Pastor Scott will be coming and his lovely family. You ought to be praying every day for that process. If you can fast, if you're healthy enough to fast, choose a day to fast for that process, for discernment and affirmation that if God has placed His hand on Scott for that area of family ministry, an associate, that when he gets here, you will sense it, you will know it, you will be overjoyed about it, and you as a church will be able to affirm that. And you will be able to say yes. Join the team. Let's reach Monroe. Let's reach Monroe County. Let's reach the state of Michigan. Let's try to reach the world with the gospel. God appoints them. The church just gets to affirm them. We get to love them. I hope to get to say this more. It'd be hard for me to do it. God has been good to me. He's so graced me to where I can talk to people without just emotionally falling apart. You get to affirm them, love them, pray for them. Support them. I'll talk about that in a moment. Support them with your prayers and your encouragement and your love. I talked about it this morning about affirming and loving your staff and your pastors. Kelsey, Owsley, where are you? I can't believe I'm doing this, Kelsey. publicly, I'm saying thank you. Thank you. Kelsey moved my snow for me. That's part of affirming. You say, what do you mean? As his pastor, I wasn't there a lot. He didn't want Carrie walking in snow. You get to affirm them. Walk by their side. Help them. Church, listen to this. Please hear me. Every staff has a family. It's not just Tim you're calling. Here's where I get real nosy. You're calling my daughter, too. You're not just calling Tim and Amanda. You got some munchkins that come along with them. They're going to be right here with them. It's not just Matt. It's Hannah. It won't just be the only one we got hanging around here right now is Lucas, and we're praying hard for him. It's going to happen. If Scott comes, it's not going to be Scott that's just, listen, matter of fact, I'll let you in on another secret. The family needs you more than they need you. After 30-something years of ministry, we're so busy and wrapped up in trying to honor God, but the family will need you more than the pastor will need you. We get to affirm them, love them, encourage them, support them. That doesn't mean there will not be times when you will have to confront in love some things that you may not understand or disagree with. There's not a problem with that. We need that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I wished I had listened even more closely to some of the people that came in my office on times and said, Pastor, I'm struggling with this, or I have a problem with that. I wished I'd paid a little more attention. For those that I did, it served me greatly. It's a wealth of importance. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect along the way, but we get to affirm them. God appoints them. We affirm them. And then lastly, if it's the right leadership, God anoints them. God anoints them. It says in verse 4 and 5, as they went out, it was the Holy Spirit that carried them along the way. They were sent by the Spirit of God. They began to do the work that God had called them to do in the churches. They preached the Word of God. They had the anointing of God upon them. He, the Spirit of God, directs the men of God as they minister. I don't know what needs to happen in the future at Monroe. I'm not going to be the one casting the vision, leading the vision. That's why you've been gracious not to ask me. That's why I haven't told you. If you'd asked me, I would have told you to mind your own business. I would have done it tactfully, but I would have said, that's none of my business. God will. Here's how you ought to pray for every staff member that you have. Instead of complaining, okay, being very transparent, instead of complaining, instead of arguing, instead of fussing, instead of digging in your heels, here's what you ought to do. Pray for them. Pray for them. I had one lady in my first church. She came to me. I'd not been there long, and she was very vocal. And she said, well, we had a pastor. Well, I wish I could say it just like her. We had a pastor one time, and I just thought it was time for him to go. So I told him, and we ought to just get together and tell him it's time to leave. I said, did you pray for him? She said, no, he just needed to go. I said, then you should have hushed. Don't you know if it's time for him to go, God would tell him first? That's a no-brainer. By the way, I didn't ask for you to tell me when it's time for me to go. I knew when God said, Roy, it's time. It's time. Pray for your staff, for the anointing of God to guide their decisions as they navigate this crazy world called the church today. And it's a crazy world because the world is crazy. And the bad part about that is all of us crazies gather on Sunday mornings. And we have all these different thoughts. Listen, I'm being honest with you. If I did everything that was told to me to do every week by the people of this church, you would have run me off a long time ago. Because everybody has a different idea. Adrian Rogers, great pastor, said this, everything without a head is dead. Anything with more than one is a freak. There's only one lead pastor. Pray, 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 pray. When you want to complain, pray more. When you don't understand, pray more. When someone says something critical, pray more. pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God on your pastor to guide your church. If you do, when he starts to make the wrong direction, when he doesn't understand fully, there's the Spirit of God who will lead him in the right way. I assure you of that. I made plenty of mistakes on this journey, but I've always known when the Spirit of God led us the right ways, and he always did it through much prayer of the people of God. God appoints them. We affirm them. God anoints them, and he is glorified, and the people are blessed. Church is in transition. I'm so excited for the future of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. I hope I get to say that at least two more Sundays. And I'll be saying it a lot in the days to come, because it's not about me. It's about the glory of God among his people in this place as you follow his guidance. So as you are in church in transition, I hope that the Spirit of God is taking the Word of God and helping you by his Spirit to be willing to receive it, to make the necessary changes for the plans that God has, not Tim, God has for his church. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm so glad that God has always had us on a journey. Always. And he's always, the good thing about God is this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's always done things different. Look at it. When Jesus showed up in the New Testament, what they were looking for in a God, in their God, they didn't find. He did everything different. John the Baptist was a freak. When John the Baptist came, they said, "Who is this crazy guy?" You know what? God was using John the Baptist to bring, he was a forerunner of Jesus. And they looked at him and thought, "Who is this guy? Look at how he's dressed. Look at what he's eating." I thought all week long about that. God, I'm so glad that you make us do things different for your glory. Otherwise, the church will do what many in America are doing. They've plateaued and they're dying. And we have to choose. We will have to choose. You will choose. I will choose. How will we reach the next generation, or will we? If it becomes about me or you, it won't happen. But if it becomes about him and reaching those who need him, the glory of God, the favor of God will rest upon this place. And he will be blessed. He will be honored. Nothing else really matters.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.